I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. For people who can distinguish the difference between the truth and disinformation and can recognize those clever gatekeepers who incorporate a bit of deception along with the truth while doing damage control for the government's version of so many current activities. And that includes lying about historical events. To see the guest lineup for Studios A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit the radio schedule page for this program by clicking on the radio schedule button at spingola.com to see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. There is a new button just below that schedule button that will take you to the chat room for this program, and that is spingola.chattango.com. That is spingola.chattango.com. chattango.com. For questions or comments only during the program, please email spingola1@yahoo.com. Otherwise, my regular email is deanna@spingola.com. We are not taking calls today. This is a host prerogative as well as an accommodation for the guest. We will take questions via email or the chat room. My guest today is Dr. Greg Johnson. His website is counter-currents.com. He is the author of The Confessions of a Reluctant Hater and many, many articles published by the Occidental Observer. And a few weeks ago, I sent Dr. Johnson a cartoon, which I have reproduced on the website, spingola.com. If you just go to the schedule and click on September, and you will be able to see that cartoon. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very, very good.
Great, thanks.
You know, after your last visit, I received the following from a listener regarding you, and I quote, "He is the most secretive person in the white nationalist movement. In addition, it was nothing but cowardice not to allow listeners to call in with questions for him. This special treatment for some that you inaugurated for Veronica Clark completely goes against your stated principles of transparency. Or have you ever stated such principles? What are your principles? You are very nice and compassionate, but I don't know if you are principled." Unquote. Well, I didn't ever bother to answer that quote, friend, unquote. But I have had some interesting people on my program, and you are definitely one of them, and I don't view you as being secretive. You're certainly out there on your website, and you certainly do express your views, and you've put them all into a book, or not all of them, but certainly a good representation of them. And in the preface of your book, or in the first chapter, you did state that you wrote under a pen name. And that pen name was Michael. Let's see, what was it? I'm trying to find it here.
I've written under a lot of pen names, actually, over the years. I still use some.
Oh, okay. And,
but, you know,
and
using pen names
is
a necessary thing if you want to stray too far from mainstream ideas, because there are ideas that will get you socially shunned, discriminated against in employment, even physically attacked. And I think that one of the most important things that we can do if we're going to be a movement that entertains and spreads unpopular ideas is we have to adopt this principle. And the principle is very simple. We have to let everybody who wants to get involved determine his or her own level of involvement, how deeply they want to wade into this.
We do have to cut to a real quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest. Stay tuned.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Fallowing.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Website is counter-currents.com. And I'm sorry I interrupted you with a commercial, but that's what we have here. So please continue. And I do have one question. Somebody in the chat room wants to know if you are Norwegian. Dr. Johnson? Did we lose Dr. Johnson, or is he on mute?
Deanna, I'm sorry. Yeah. I muted my mic and I forgot to hit it again.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. No, I'm not Norwegian. The thing that I was saying before the break was simple. People constantly demand transparency, and I think that sometimes that's unfair for this simple reason, that if people are going to get involved in a movement that advocates scary and radical ideas, they're going to have to wade in at the shallow end, get comfortable. And a lot of times that entails using pen names and identities on the internet, things like that. And I think that we have to respect that. We have to respect that because that's the only way we're ever going to get people who have anything to lose to get themselves involved in these kinds of ideas. And so I think it's an absolute basic principle that we have to let every individual determine how involved he or she wants to get and how explicit they want to be about who they are, their name, things like that. And if people don't respect that, they're very dangerous to this because they create an atmosphere of fear. And we have enough fear that's being created by the system. We don't need to have people who are advocates of change creating fear that they will out people because they're having a bad day or they think they're cowards or whatever. So I think it's a grave mistake just in terms of making a movement that will grow and actually produce change to look down on people and poo-poo them and ridicule them for using pen names. I think that's absolutely necessary, and respecting the integrity of pen names is one of the basic principles that will make this movement grow.
Right. Well, my grandfather wrote numerous books under pen names, and I do have other guests who come on the program that use another name, simply because of their professional obligations and because they talk about controversial things, which you talk about controversial things, and so I respect the fact that, hey, that's fine with me. And as far as taking calls, I have asked when I have gone on as a guest on other programs that we not accept any calls because their calls have two functions. One of the functions is, unfortunately, that many people will call in with negative, also using other names, alternative names, will call in simply to characterize the guest negatively or to distract the conversation or to discredit the guest. And so when we have controversial people on, or if a guest has asked that we not accept calls, I respect that. And I think that that is everybody's right because, you know, we're all targeted, as you say, by people who, I don't know, for various reasons.
Right. In my case, I did an interview with Dennis Fecho a couple days ago, and he had a couple of guests who called in. And it actually was more of a pleasant experience than I had thought it would be. I'm just not very experienced with the radio format yet. And I do tend to, I think, let people run on if they're asking questions. And I just need to become more comfortable in my skin and more comfortable with the medium before I can get into the back and forth of live Q&A. So
right.
That's something for the future.
Right.
Again,
and like I said, we do
wade in, get comfortable first.
Sure. Well, we do have a chat room, and we do have email, and we will take questions via those two channels. So, anyway, I've been going through your book again, and there's several. And this actually didn't start out to be a book. These are a compilation of some of the articles that you've written, and. Would you like to share with us how you actually got involved with what you call the white national movement?
Well, I became a white nationalist around the year 2000. And I guess it's an interesting story. I, for years, had become progressively alienated from the American political system. And I had started out being a kind of libertarian, and then I became more conservative. And yet I started to notice that my ideological framework couldn't really capture and understand what was going on in politics. It was not adequate because I didn't think in terms of ethnicity, but I noticed that ethnicity played a role. It was just something that could not compute using my race-blind, individualistic outlook. And so I became increasingly dissatisfied with that. It was about the beginning of 1999, actually. By that time, I had really unplugged from the political system, and I ran into somebody in a bookstore in Atlanta and got chatting with him, and I realized that there were people out there who shared my basic level of alienation and criticism of the system. And it had never even occurred to me. I'd been reading books published by these people and stuff like that, but I had been so brainwashed by the media presentation of white nationalist types, basically, that it never occurred to me to actually seek them out in the real world. And once I got to know this person, I started reading more intensively, and it really progressed fairly quickly from there. And the main point that I just want to make is simply this. The way to understand politics today is primarily through the understanding of ethnicity and ethnic conflict. Ideologies like capitalism versus socialism, the spectrum of left and right, those are less important and actually can blind you to what's going on, because what's really going on in politics today is ethnic warfare. And within white countries, it's ethnic warfare between the white majorities, soon to be minorities, and non-whites, but the primary enemy of whites in America and other white countries is the organized Jewish community, who have been using non-white immigration and non-white emancipation and their power in the media and politics and the economy to try and basically push white people first from power in their own countries. And eventually, I think if these trends aren't stopped, we're simply going to exist as distinct peoples, as a distinct race. So that's really what put it all together for me. One book that had an enormous impact was Kevin MacDonald's book, The Culture of Critique. I was a philosophy graduate student or getting a philosophy PhD, and I did not understand what made a lot of these left-wing philosophical movements coherent until he put into place the idea that, look, these aren't supposed to be intellectually coherent so much as they are tools by which the Jewish community seeks to gain power over the majorities in whatever countries they live. And that includes race denial and anthropology, includes Marxism and neo-Marxism and postmodernism and deconstruction and things like that. All of these things are really tools of ethnic dominance and ethnic aggression against our people. And that really put everything together at that point for me.
Right. And I think that that the media would have us believe that there's just two sides. There's the left and the right, and then there's the conservatives and the liberals. And we don't ever see beyond those labels that were foisted upon us, when in fact, if we start looking at names and ethnicity, then we begin to see that there is a very, very subtle, although the more you get into it, the less subtle it becomes, that it's a very subtle movement that when you start taking apart the people on the left and right, and look at the names and what these people are promoting, and you say, you refer to them, of course, as the Jewish element in our society and in every society, which tends to be, what, about 2% in this country, but they have so much power over our culture, and particularly where it comes to immigration, and they always have had, and typically, people don't recognize this at all. They just get in that paradigm of the left and the right.
Right. Most Jews came to the United States beginning in the 1880s and 1890s, when we had a period of relatively open immigration. And the white majority in the country felt increasing anxiety about non-white immigration. And it wasn't even non-white immigration so much at the time, although there was some from Asia. It was really just immigration from increasingly different European peoples that was causing a lot of anxiety. And the reason is that diversity was understood, any kind of diversity, racial, cultural, religious, linguistic, was understood as a source of friction and weakness in society, which is the truth. And so what happened starting in the early 20th century is the old stock American majority tried to put a damper on immigration. And they fought for decades finally to get limited immigration reform, which was passed in 1924. And who were the main people fighting against it and organizing resistance against it? It was the Jewish community. The Jewish community worked for more than 40 years to overturn immigration restriction. And again, they had other people in their coalition, but they were the spearheads of that,
right,
that change.
All righty, we do have to go to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Greg Johnson. His website is counter-currents.com. And please continue. And you mentioned Dr. McDonald's book, and he's been a guest on my program. And honestly, sometimes you read things and you think, gosh, did this person really say that? Because we've all been brought up to view ourselves as racist by the media, such as that little cartoon that I sent you that I hope that our listeners will go and look at. It's on the radio schedule page for today's date. And because we were afraid to say something about being being white or preferring certain things, because we have been kind of indoctrinated not to.
Right. I was talking about Kevin McDonald's book, The Culture of Critique, which is a great book. Someday I think it'll be viewed as like a work like Das Kapital or Darwin's On the Origin of the Species, because it really lays the foundation for a very important new discipline, which is using evolutionary psychology to study ethnic movements. And in his particular case, he talks about the Jewish community and its relationship with non-Jewish communities. And he's extended this over four volumes plus countless essays. It's a very important project. And basically, at the end of The Culture of Critique, he talks about the role of organized Jewish groups in overturning America's Immigration Restriction Act. And the basic rationale for this, and he quotes many Jewish authors explaining this rationale, is that Jews stick out like a sore thumb in any kind of society that is homogeneous, right? If everyone's white and everyone is Northern European and everyone is Lutheran or something like that, Jews look very different. And because they're a minority and because they have had so many fallings out with the host populations that they live among, they want some camouflage. They want some, they want to blend in. Well, one of the ways they blend in is by adopting, things like Reform Judaism, which almost looks like Protestantism. And another way that they blend in is by diluting the homogeneity of the stock of the people that they're among by promoting immigration of increasingly different people until Jews look rather white to us compared to, say, Nigerians and Somalians and Chinese. Jews actually look rather white. And this also empowers them in other ways because they've always been a kind of middleman people. They know a few words from a lot of languages. They like to broker deals. They like to rise to the top in societies that are sort of medieval, Mid-Eastern bazaars, sort of the Star Wars cantina model of a society, by brokering deals between different groups. And it's a proven strategy that has helped them a great deal. Generally, what Jews prefer in terms of immigration is what you would expect of a nomadic community that has frequent fallings out with their host populations. They want easy entrance and easy exit, and they want to have as portable a form of wealth as possible for their quick exits. And they've imposed that on the rest of us, and unfortunately, that's an environment that's not conducive to white success. Whites tend to be a very finicky group. When I was a kid, I think it was second or third grade, we had a in my class, they had a cage with a couple hamsters in it. And the hamsters had babies. And the teacher said, don't go near the hamster cage once the mother hamster had babies, because if she felt pressured, I don't know what was supposed to happen to the hamster babies, but it wasn't good for the mother hamster to feel any kind of pressure. And I really think that whites are similarly finicky that way, that we feel unsafe in having families if we live in an environment that has too much diversity. And so it's actually depresses our birth rates. It creates all kinds of tension and conflict within our culture, the more diversity that we have to contend with. It works great for Jews. It doesn't work good for us. It's intended to work that way. It's intended to weaken us and strengthen them. And I think that once whites start thinking about what's really good for us as a group, because every other group is thinking about their own group interests, right? Once we start thinking about what's good for us as a group, we're going to come back to the wisdom of the people who restricted immigration back in the 1920s and tried to maintain a white majority and white standards in America.
Right, and it wasn't just the fact that these incoming groups were of a different ethnicity or a different color or something, but their economic standards were quite different, and their political mentality was different, and so it created a lot of economic stress on the country. For instance, when the peso in Mexico fell in the mid-1990s, we had a lot of people coming to this country who were looking for economic support. And so this was a very big disadvantage to the people here, the taxpayers here. So, and I think that that the driving force behind that was also the same group of people. We do have a break coming up momentarily, so we'll pick this up on the other side of the break in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered Ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org. RNA drops.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
Website is counter-currents.com. And so do you think that they quite possibly have a hand in the economic stresses that have occurred in other countries that makes people move in search of better economic circumstances?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think more broadly speaking, we just have to address banking and as such, whether it's Jewish banking or not. I think that there are better alternative ways of financing development, and I think that's a huge issue that we can explore. I wanted to speak about something you said though earlier, which is the idea that even if somebody is completely the same as you, you know, racially, culturally, religiously, you know, and they look good too. If these immigrants get off the boat, there are still conflicts of interest that exist between immigrants and the population that's already here. We constantly get this cliche, which I wrote about in my book, we're a nation of immigrants. And what that's supposed to do is it's supposed to basically say that, well, no one has a right to complain about any new person crossing the border because at some point in our history, our ancestors crossed the border too. But the point I make is that that might be true, but that doesn't mean that we all have the same interests. And if you are trying to hold down a job and build a family, build a business, whatever, have a life, And there is a constant stream of new people coming into the labor market, even if they're the same as you in every important way, and they don't add cultural diversity, which is a terrible curse, right? They still depress wages, they still create competition, and they still make life harder. And that's one thing that we do have to address, is that without the issue of diversity at all, there's still the problem of economic competition from immigrants that is not in the interest of people who are already settled. And the fact that we are in a terrible recession, the Great Recession, whatever, it's been going on for 4 years now, and the number of jobs that are created every month is very small, we still don't even take into account the fact that for every job that's created, there's probably one or two immigrants who have crossed the Rio Grande or crawled out of cargo containers from China or wherever they're coming from, or they come here legally, that are competing to take those jobs away from Americans who are already out of work, stressed, upside down on their mortgages and things like that. So, at the very least, from the point of view of just economic recovery, we need to stop immigration so that people can have a chance to sort things out, get jobs, and so forth. Otherwise, there is never going to be a recovery. I do not think that we're ever going to have an economic recovery and things will go back to the salad days of the 1990s. That's never going to happen. But
I don't think it is either. And of course, I think this is deliberate, because at the same time that we are having these economic woes, these phony bailouts, and the outsourcing of jobs and the insourcing of cheap labor, and then when you mix the World Trade Organization, NAFTA, and all of the so-called free trade agreements into this mix, we can see that it's a very, very deliberate plan to bring the country down. And when they talk, when the candidates talk about what they are going to do to revive the economy, they never even mention the free trade agreements. They never mention the things that have really impacted the economy to begin with.
Exactly. And the reason why they don't mention that is because they're all for it. They're all for globalization. They're all for outsourcing. Because both parties are in the control of people who are making fortunes by dismantling the American economy. And until that changes, it doesn't matter who you vote for. My particular preference in this election, I think, is for Barack Obama. I think it would be good to have 4 more years of Obama, because we've been living in a society that is not about white interests. It has never been about white interests for decades and decades. And when Obama got elected, we fought. Had a president who looked the part, because every previous president put a white face on a system that's basically anti-white. And once we saw a black face or a half-black face on that system, I think that made it possible for people to start thinking critically and becoming a little more alienated from that system. And I would like that process to continue. I think 4 more years of Obama can only really wake up more white people, and that's a good thing.
Okay. So you're not saying that his policies are any better or any worse. I think that whoever gets in is going to implement the same agenda. They just do it from a different philosophy.
And Romney, Mitt Romney is a white guy with a nice big family. I mean, he looks very, very wholesome. It would give people back the illusion that this is a white society. When you have a white president who looks very family-oriented and very nice in office, that gives people a false feeling of security, and I think that would be a terrible thing. It's a lot easier for somebody like Romney to push through race replacement of policies, anti-white policies, than it would be for somebody like Obama, because as soon as there's a Democrat in the White House, suddenly the right wing gets excited. They get angry. They start resisting things. Whereas as soon as the Republican gets in the White House, even if he's pushing the same bad policies, the right wing goes to sleep. There's no opposition, and these things just sail through. So I would much rather have Obama in the White House putting a black face on a very black and evil regime than a guy with a white face on a very dark and evil regime. I think it's just truth in advertising, and it helps increase racial awareness. on the part of white people, and I think that we need to wake up as a group and start thinking of ourselves as a distinct group with distinct interests, and like every other group, we need to start thinking about electing rulers and leaders who actually will represent our interests. And we're a long ways off from that, but the more ethnic strife in this country, the more ethnic awareness, the better for us.
Right. And well, I also think that he has done so many things to outrage so many people that it has led to a lot of waking up. And it's so blatant, you know, some of the things that he has done. But as you say, changes, I don't know that there would be any changes. In fact, it might even be worse if Romney came in because I kind of view it as the problem reaction solution kind of a situation where the elite present a problem and they wait until the public reacts and then they provide a solution that they had kind of in the background to begin with that we would not have accepted had we not had something that outraged us, such as the current president, particularly with his Obamacare and with all of the further outsourcing and some of the other things that have impacted the economy so badly.
Well, who is more likely to pass Obamacare? Obama, who gets the right-wing opposition all hopped up, or Mitt Romney, who has passed basically the grandfather or father of Obamacare in Massachusetts? It'd be interesting to look at what kind of opposition from the Republicans existed to Romney Care when he was there. I bet they were snoozing away, feeling like their interests were being well represented by this white guy in the governor's mansion. I think that he's much more likely to see Obamacare through and act like a responsible statesman and pat himself on the back for that than Obama would.
Exactly. All righty. I'm looking through the chat room and seeing if there is any questions and whatnot. So people have asked me about Voice of Reason Radio.
Well, Voice of Reason is podcasting or broadcasting network that interviewed me a number of times. A number of my friends do shows there, people like Mark Weber and Paul Fromm, Robert Stark. And back in July, they stopped putting up new shows. And I was away. I was dealing with a health crisis in my family. And I had slow internet connection, so I hadn't been paying attention to VOR for weeks. But when I got back home, at the beginning of August, Robert Stark called me up and said, "Do you have any contact with Mike Connor, who's running the thing?" And I said, "No." And it turns out that the guy just sort of disappeared. Now, I think that I know for a fact that he was headed towards some kind of burnout because he was very stressed out, and he was doing a lot of stuff on his own. He had taken on a lot of responsibility, too much, I think, because he was very conscientious and didn't know how to delegate. And I think he basically burned out, and just out of self-preservation, he just had to walk away from it. And we tried to get a hold of him. It's very important to guard against burnout if you're involved in any kind of activism. It's one of the perennial problems. And so we tried to get a hold of him. We tried to offer him help to get things going again, and there was just no luck. We just couldn't get through. And so what Countercurrents is doing now is we are in the process of launching a Countercurrents radio network, which will do podcasts. And basically what we're going to do is have a lot of the same shows that were on VOR and a number of new shows. And the goal is just to get these voices back out there, people like Keith Preston and Robert Stark and Mark Weber, if he'll come on board. And I hope that it will launch actually next week, that we'll have a site up and new shows going on. So stay tuned at countercurrents.com, counter-currents.com, for updates about the Countercurrents Radio Network.
Good. I think that people can get burned out. I really do. And particularly in as much as Mike was kind of running the thing by himself, I mean, that's a lot of responsibility, and probably he was trying to work also if he's not retired or, you know, doesn't, he probably had just too much on his plate.
I really think that's true. The way I likened it was, you know, if you're on a diet where you burn more calories than you take in, that's called a starvation diet. And you have to get off that starvation diet or it will kill you. And psychologically speaking, it's possible to be on the equivalent of a starvation diet where you are giving more and you get back spiritually, psychologically, whatever, from your job. And that will lead you to burn out. And if you don't pull away from it, it'll ruin you. So I don't blame him for doing it at all. And there's a world of difference between someone who burns out or you know, fails because they're too conscientious and too responsible, and the person who fails because they just don't care and because they're sloppy. I think that a person who's highly conscientious is gold. They're valuable people. But everyone who's conscientious needs to recognize that they need to rest, they need to delegate, they need to do what's necessary so that they can stay in this long, for the long haul. And I wish him all the best, and I hope that he resurfaces eventually after a little sabbatical. I think that would be great. I'd like to know how he's doing.
Great, yeah. I don't know him well. I've talked to him a couple of times, but yes, my best wishes to him, of course. If people are still wanting to look at that cartoon, it's at spingola.com/cartoon.html. And do you remember that cartoon that I sent you?
Yeah. Basically, it was a Peanuts cartoon. And was it Roosevelt Washington? Is that the black character's name? I think it is.
I think so. I don't know. I don't
yeah,
read the
cartoons. Says, you know, I'm proud of being black. And Charlie Brown says, that's nice. And Charlie Brown says something to the effect like, I'm proud of being white. And Roosevelt Washington says, racist. And
exactly.
That pretty much sums it all up. That pretty much says, you know, the double standard situation that we're in today. And whites need to realize that we cannot play by those rules. The way I put it in a piece that I wrote a couple years ago called W Word, which is white. The W Word, which is a piece about during the 2008 campaign when conservatives were screaming bloody murder at Hillary Clinton for saying that she appealed more to white voters than Barack Obama would. And they treated white like it was a dirty word. What I said in there is like, look, we have accepted the idea that every group can play the race card, but whites can never talk about our group interests or our group identity, but everybody else can. And I said, imagine playing a game of poker where the whole country is at stake, right? All the chips on the table, all the industries, the cities, all the power is on the table. Now, whites have the biggest stack of chips, definitely. However, every other person at the table gets a trump card, a wild card that they can play called the race card, but the whites don't. Well, we might start out with the biggest pile of chips in the room, but if we play by those rules where they have the race card and they can always play the race card, but we can't, we're going to lose our chips if we keep playing under those rules. And that's exactly what's going on. We live in a situation where other groups are entitled to look out for their group interests, to pursue their group interests at the expense of the white majority, to elect representatives who look out for their interests and so forth, but whites can't do that or we're called racist. And we've been so cowed by that that we're trying to play a game where we simply cannot win. And the net effect of that in the long term is that we're going to lose all of our power. We're going to lose our wealth. We're going to lose our power. And we're going to be put in a position where we are totally dependent upon the goodwill of people who have been brought up to hate us and blame us for all of their failures. And even if we're extinct, they'll still go on blaming us for all their failures. So it's a very, very bad situation. I do not think there are going to be little reservations for white people somewhere off in a brown, dark future like we've created reservations for the American Indians. I don't think we're going to get one-tenth of the consideration, and it's slim consolation for the Indians, that they receive from whites. So it's a very bad game that we're playing. We've got to stop playing this game. We've got to start playing our own race card, or we're really finished. It's a slow process, but the end is clear. We will lose everything that we have. We will lose our homelands.
Right. Now, do you think that that the control of the NAACP by the Jewish by a Jewish minority has anything to do with how the blacks view us? We are going to a break momentarily, but we could pick that up on the other side. But you were referring to your article in your book on page 58, the 2008 U.S. presidential election. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about that also. But we will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Back, and our guest today is Dr. Greg Johnson. His website is counter-currents.com. And do you think that the NAACP had anything to do with the white-black opposition that we've seen? I mean, they certainly did play a part in the civil rights movement, but they early on created the NAACP, and I believe that they did that to so that they could control the way that we interacted with each other.
That's exactly right. The NAACP was founded by Jews, and there's a really wonderful article about this, which you can read on countercurrents.com by Kevin McDonald, called Jews, Blacks, and Race. It's also in the book called Race and the American Prospect that we still have a few copies of. And it is a very important history of Jewish-Black relations. And basically what the Jews did in the early part of the 20th century is they, again, pursuing a strategy of racial dominance. What they tried to do is they tried to dilute the power of the white Gentile majority. And they, to do that, they did things like promoting immigration from all over the world. And they also promoted the emancipation of different minority groups that were already here. And Blacks were the largest minority group. And they created the NAACP to try and advance Black interests against white interests. Now, what happened is eventually the NAACP slowly started having Black leaders. After a while, it looked quite kosher, or maybe it looked too kosher, I guess, to have Jews running a Black liberation organization, but they still play a role in the NAACP today. But there is another side to this story, and that's this. There are many Black nationalist groups. Marcus Garvey was a Black nationalist, for instance. The Nation of Islam is a Black nationalist group, for instance. And these groups are anti-Semitic, especially if you define anti-Semitic the way that Joe Sobrin did. Joe Sobrin said that today an anti-Semite is not a person who hates Jews, it's a person whom Jews hate. And Jews do not like Black nationalist groups for the same reason they don't like white nationalist groups. Why? Well, they do not want people thinking in terms of having racially homogeneous states. So Blacks do benefit a great deal in the present regime. They enjoy power and wealth that they could not earn on their own, of their own initiative in America. There's no question about it. Affirmative action has been an enormous wealth and power transfer from whites to Blacks, and so on. However, their future in this regime is the same as ours, ultimately. They're going to be blended out of existence just like whites are. And Obama's the perfect poster boy for that blended future. Blacks face genetic oblivion just like whites under this system. And whenever Blacks start thinking in terms of Black separation, preserving the purity of their race and so forth, they get attacked just like white nationalists do, and they're being attacked by the same Jewish organizations.
Alrighty, we do have to take a 60-second top-the-hour break. We'll be right back.